podcast viewfinder.
When you knock them down, they get back up. But when I knock them down, they stay down.
Hey everybody, I'm Chris.
I'm Luke.
And I'm James.
And this is Andy.
Andy!
I'm so I love it. So wait, Andy gets the cool, like, right, you're so excited for Luke, Andy, but not for Luke.
Luke's
or
been
me?
On the show before.
Uh-huh.
You've been on the show all the time. Oh, you're boring.
Wow.
Me and Andy go way back. So this podcast.
Eat lethal.
You can't do that. You can't.
That's licensed material.
That's a licensed material. Andy and I were on a radio show for, what, I thought it was 2 years. Was that 2 years?
Maybe, close to that.
Okay, so maybe you guys remember Andy from a radio show called
Sweet Lethal.
That's how you do it, James.
Oh, wow.
So, you
take years to prepare.
We're on a radio
2 show.
2 years.
No.
I know. Yeah, so now Andy's back on the podcast. We're back together.
Back together again.
So,
nice.
I'm excited.
That's yeah, it. We're, me and Luke are leaving.
Work on our banter because we're hosting something
we are.
Later this week.
So. We're hosting a kids' talent show.
Wow.
There's like
40 that implies that kids have talent.
That's why we're like, okay, because we got to get back. Because Andy and I used to do a lot of stuff together, then he got more religious and changed churches.
Yeah. So, and his humor changed,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. He got more bitter as he got older. That was me. I lost weight. Have you heard my theory about, like, fat people and funniness?
No.
Yeah.
Like, the larger people, like, overweight people are funnier, but as they lose weight, they become less funny.
Yes,
that's
true.
What's your theory about it, though?
That's why I was worried about losing weight.
Melissa McCarthy's lost a lot of weight.
Oh, has she?
Yeah, she was on Saturday Night Live last night. I only saw the very end of one skip, but I don't know.
Was she funny?
I wasn't paying much attention.
Because the first time
now
she was
I'm worried
on,
about that, because she's hilarious.
What about that one guy who lost a lot of weight and then he gained it back?
Oh, good job on being
Horatio
Sands?
Yeah. No, I don't know.
What guy then?
He's on 22 Jump Street.
Jared
21.
From...
Oh, we should talk about Jared.
We're going to censor that part.
You can talk about the guy. He did lose a lot of weight.
But he did bad things.
He's not funny now.
No.
He's for sure.
No.
I guess.
What?
Never mind. I just realized. I don't want to be like Chris. Chris makes inappropriate jokes.
His name's Jonah Hill.
Hey, well,
Jonah
welcome.
Hill.
This is Podcast Viewfinder, episode 46. This is a podcast about worldview and the world around us, and we look at pop culture stuff and news articles and all this stuff, and we talk about like what worldview they're pushing and all that. And so that opening quote was from The Punisher.
No, it's from Daredevil.
The guy's name is
The Punisher.
The Punisher said it, so it's from The Punisher. It's from him saying it.
The Punisher said it in Daredevil Season 2.
Okay, sorry. It is from, yes, Daredevil Season 2. Which
it's coming out March 18th.
Yeah, Daredevil season 1 was a little bit
bloody.
It was graphic.
I couldn't watch it.
You couldn't watch it.
I stopped.
See, religious.
At one point, I was like, "That's it. I can't." I'm not
which point? Which point?
Well, I don't actually remember.
We don't need to know that.
Well, it was a limousine and a door smashing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
that point was amazing. I was like, "Let's keep watching."
You're like, "Wow."
No, but yeah, but they. Because it's on Netflix, they can push the boundaries because it's rated mature.
It's on the internet.
Actually, they don't
can't
have any
censor
boundaries.
The internet.
Yeah,
they don't have any boundaries because they don't get rated.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's a mature rating. No. They rate the show.
They rate themselves. Yeah, they rate themselves basically, but there is no rating system
because
no
it's on Netflix. Because it's Netflix, but it's also it's Marvel. So does Marvel? Like they have control over.
Depends on the deal, man. That's contract.
The
law,
contract.
So.
Yeah,
Marvel, it felt like violence for the sake of violence. It didn't feel like it added anything to the story to me. Or it wasn't
I would disagree wholeheartedly. That scene creates the character so much.
But you don't have to show that to illustrate that.
Then you wouldn't see how bad the character is.
I disagree, though. The character, as
like,
soon as
brutal.
He did that, that's when I was like, whoa.
This guy's crazy.
This character is not to be messed around with at all.
You can get that same Kingpin. Device without...
I would have to disagree still. I just...
Because you didn't see anything, Ian, because you saw it. Because
the first Aliens, like, the reason it was so scary is because you didn't see much of the...
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, so this one, you can still show that he's an evil guy without showing...
You can even still see...
But he did it with his own hands.
Yeah, you can see what he did, but without showing the gore of it. That's what...
What? It's just not as impactful.
I just showed it with his own hands. He's like... The impact was huge.
The sound.
Everything added.
Yeah, this guy's a quiet, soft-spoken guy, and then sudden, boom.
You're like, he's scary. He becomes way more scary because of him doing it.
But Andy and I agree, I think, that you don't need to show the gore to show.
They didn't actually show.
Yeah, they did.
They showed silhouettes.
Yeah.
But they didn't show.
They did. It was gross.
It was like a shadow.
All I remember is silhouettes.
That was like.
You blocked it out.
James,
like, oh yeah, that movie was fine. And then like, wait, that movie has lots of all this stuff. Like, oh,
no, that's James.
I know.
What movie?
Okay, what are you saying?
Well, it was not just that scene alone. I mean, that was a building point to like
they can
greater and greater and greater and greater intensity.
Ooh.
And at that point, I was like, if it's going to get any higher than this, I'm out.
Yeah. You know?
I mean. And it pushed me. Everybody said, "Oh, it's not that bad for that." Oh, I don't care. You pushed me beyond
what I'm willing to
endure. Because it's not funny anymore. Yeah. I can't even have a sandwich watching the show.
You can't have a sandwich at all. I'm done. It did sandwiches.
I can never close my door anymore because I'm afraid I might.
What if I accidentally
drive around with an open door
on that guy? What was his name? Walter Fisk? I don't even know.
It was Fisk, though.
Fisk.
It's his last name. Yeah. I remember his.
So,
but he. He's my favorite. Okay, ever.
Andy, put a pin in that. We're going to talk about that. That'll be like our topic at the end of pushing things further and further in our society, because we're going to talk about.
Okay, we're going to be hitting a lot of that
because the new Deadpool movie came out. Zoolander 2 came out this week, so we're going to talk about that stuff in a bit. But first, it's time for Florida Foibles. So. Luke thought it was Florida Fables. These are not fables. These are actual news stories. So
I just thought you were saying something funny in a weird way.
No, a foible is... I looked it up before. Now okay. I forgot.
What's a foible?
I'll look it up while you do that. Okay, so talk about it.
Then it's a play on words. It's even worse. It's like fables, foibles.
No, foible is like an actual... It's like
is
a,
that what we named it in our... In our?
No, ours was Florida Follies.
Oh, okay.
I had to change it because it was like Andy would get mad.
Foibles.
Why don't you just say Florida the Fables?
If they're not fables. These are real things that happen. Okay.
About freaks of Florida.
Floridian freaks. All right. Okay. Foible. It's... All right.
Okay. It's a minor weakness or failing of character, slight flaw or defect.
Yeah.
The weaker part of a sword blade between the middle and the point.
No,
but if it's Florida Fables, it'd be like stories from Florida. That's what I thought. The first time I listened to your podcast, I was like, oh, Florida Fables. So they're talking about things that happen in Florida.
No, foible is, it's a, you know, a weakness, flaw.
I know, like I understand that, but okay. I think fables work better.
Foible.
All right. Just saying. So.
Foible is a dumb word.
A guy, this happened a couple months ago, but he was just charged. He was charged with assault with a deadly weapon.
Fast food restaurant.
At a fast food restaurant. At Wendy's.
Yeah.
Why would you ever assault Wendy's?
Wendy's is
good. And they got good chili. They got good burgers. Always fresh. They're chicken.
The question of the day, what was the deadly weapon?
Well, that's a great question.
get it.
Because it's Florida, you know it's not a regular deadly weapon.
It's probably a crazy deadly weapon.
A 3.5 foot long alligator.
Wow.
Don't let me go get my alligator.
I love
or dead?
Alive.
He was mounted on the side of the road. Picked it up, put it in the back of his truck or something like that, and then went back.
Somebody slammed their door because they're too loud.
Went back.
Yeah.
Put him up. And they got a gator here.
As he went through the drive-thru, he threw it through it. He's like,
I love this line. When an employee handed James his drink, and not this James, he tossed an alligator through the window and sped off. So did he already pay? Because at Wendy's you have the two windows. So you pay first. Go up.
He got his food, and after he got his food, he's
no, it's like, there. This is worth $2.50.
It only has one window.
Make some boots out of it.
I know.
No, it has to.
Every penny of
it had to.
It had to.
I think it still has to.
I don't think it has to.
I think it has to.
This one has to. Yeah.
They don't always use two, though. Even if they have two windows, they don't always use
them.
So,
I don't know if this was his form of payment. I don't know. It's
gotta be. There you go. Hey, maybe he wanted it cooked.
Maybe he's saw... Here,
can you cook this? It's fresh.
No, of course not.
So you don't speed off.
Oh, wait a minute.
I was joking.
Keep the change.
It was a terrible joke.
It was because he's getting charged with assault.
A 3.5 foot.
He wasn't intending to kill, though.
Okay.
That is true. He wasn't intending to kill.
Here's what I want to know. Like, what was the thought process? He was driving along. He's like, hey, there's an alligator on the side of the road. You know, it'd be great if I threw this in at the Wendy's restaurant.
He probably didn't think that. He probably like, this will be a cool pet. But then after a while, he's like, maybe not. I don't want this anymore.
He's like,
What's the best option here? Throw it through the window.
That thing's worth a Frosty and a Coke, baby. Picking that up.
Oh, man. His name's Joshua James.
I mean, you wouldn't pick up an alligator if you saw it. You're like driving through the avenue. Oh, my gosh. It's like turtles. You know?
I'm terrified. Like,
three and a half foot's not that big.
Yeah, come on.
Okay, but look at this picture, though.
Everyone else can see it.
Picture.
Yeah, it's
nothing to scale. In that
first
picture,
off, that thing's tiny, and
I wouldn't.
So you would pick up a 3.5 foot.
Yeah, all you can do is keep its mouth closed.
3.5 feet.
Alligator hunter.
Yeah, well, so how's he gonna? Did he not get scratched in the process?
If he go up in Florida, that's like maybe a squirrel.
Now,
that's not a big deal.
In all fairness, we don't know if he actually intentionally threw it through. Like he could have been like holding it like a pet and jumped. And he's like, oh no, like I'm gonna have to speed around and park.
Yeah,
and then go in. That's probably what he's
They found him at a convenience store nearby. He didn't go
maybe
park.
He forgot. He's like, you know what? This is a stray. I don't want
to. He was thinking
anymore.
About it. Now, do I go back and get the gator?
You know what? That one's
or do
not.
I just let her go?
Let her go.
Wendy. Give me a smoothie and think about it.
Okay, so I do want to talk about Wendy's for a second. If you walked into a Wendy's and saw an alligator in the back, would that be like, oh, that's normal for them? Or would you expect that to be
done? Florida.
Florida.
Heck, alligators are everywhere in Florida.
Because fast food restaurants, I assume everything goes on in the back, right? You're like,
No.
Brought my pet to work day.
I don't assume people are like.
Dude, you don't assume things go on in the back.
You
don't eat there
anymore.
You
assume good things are happening.
Yeah,
when you eat the food, you don't want to think, oh, man, this guy, he got the meat out and he left it there for 7 days.
If I'm eating fast food, I've already given up. Like, I'm trying to be healthy or anything. I know that it's not.
It's not about giving up. It's about lying to yourself.
Just don't think at all is what you want to do. Just put it. There's nothing happening.
Put it down the
body. It's a magic box. Food comes out, money goes in, it's a vending machine. That's all I know.
So
knowing how the food got there is not necessary to
So somebody brought up the other day, we were talking about Wendy's, and they were talking about the finger in
that
the
was
chili.
Me. Thanks. Yes. Just say me. You don't have to say someone.
Somebody. Sounds like we have more listeners if it's somebody. It's like Luke every time.
But this didn't have to do anything with podcasts. But there's that idea of Wendy's like, oh, they put fingers in their chili. That was a made-up story. That lady like took a finger from the morgue and put it in there. Now the Arby's story where a lady chopped off part of her thumb and put it in that was true.
Wait a minute.
Because she was cutting.
Slicer? You do know that their sales did go up some from the finger story. I mean, cannibalism, it exists. What? It's her fingers.
That's
there.
A Bob's Burgers.
Any publicity is good publicity.
Yeah,
that's what they say.
Did you hear about the kids?
It's finger looking good.
The kids at a school that had a salad and a lizard ran out the salad and it was still alive.
It's a lizard salad.
And they kept it as a
3 foot gator?
So there's this company packs fresh salads for this school, I guess, and it was frozen, so the lizard didn't die. It was just
cold.
Yeah, it was just cold. It was like, whatever.
I am cold.
And it was in a salad, so I'm sure.
Cryogenic state. Yeah. That's what it was.
Protein.
And it works. And then they unpacked it, and the kid got it, and there was a lizard. And now it's the school's pet.
There you go.
Yeah, it really is.
It's the school's mascot.
So, it's the school's pet.
Yeah. They kept it. I mean, it's a lizard. It's not like it's hard to keep.
It's endangered.
Lunchy.
Lunchy
the lizard.
Lizard
fingers.
Just eats what?
Salads. He's a vegan.
he's got to love Florida.
I know.
Florida's great.
They're always keeping us entertained. All right. So what does that have to do with worldview? I don't know.
I don't know about the lizard. I guess
things just for fun.
Maybe fresh food isn't as good as you want it to
maybe
be.
Maybe that's not the best way of solving your problems. Like, right. You know what? Mindy's, take this. I didn't have a gun. I didn't have a knife. I just threw in a wild animal. What's so bad about that?
I pay for my. He thought I was like back in the old time. Maybe he time traveled.
Trading.
And he was like bartering. He's bartering. He's like,
he doesn't know how to prove that he's from the past.
All right.
That happened.
We're going to talk about churches real quick. The truth about churches is you may see it.
Yeah.
Well, because this has to go with where our culture is heading. So recent Pew Research, this is from the cultural clips on
Pew Die Pew.
But USA Today, Pew Research.
Yeah.
Suggests that millennials' views of religious organizations and news media are turned sour. Since 2010, millennials' ratings of churches and other religious organizations has dipped 18 percentage points. 55% now say churches have a positive impact on the country, compared with 73% 5 years ago.
Dang.
Well, that's James, you're a millennial, right? So
I mean,
are you a millennial? You're a millennial.
No, I refuse.
He doesn't. What a millennial. What a millennial response.
A millennial likes the internet. I hate everything on the internet.
That's so Andy. He's such a hipster.
I know.
I'll take that. I'll be a hipster. I'd rather be a hipster than a millennial. That's any day.
So I don't think they're mutually exclusive, are they?
They're not, but I would rather be a hipster rather than a millennial.
Okay. So why has that trend happened, do you think? In 5 years, why has the church dropped 18 percentage points among millennials?
I think they base it off of only a few.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, we don't know the context of the research. USAtoday.com.
Yeah.
Maybe the questions were really bad.
Maybe.
It could have been.
Very vague.
But I think that it might just be a certain aspect of the church, and then you just view, like, the rest of the church is bad. It's bad. You don't take into account everything else the church does. For instance, you might be like, well, they don't support equal rights, or they don't do this.
There's a huge culture, millennial culture, of offense. Mm. And there's offenses. Always looking for offense. And if an organization, like a
church,
political news, a news media, or a church has the image of we offend in some way, then they're going to cast, you know, a lot, okay, I'm done with that. That is a big part of that culture is let's find the offense. And it has something to do with the social media issues and Twitter, what's out there that we can post. And most likely offenses are a thing that gets you clicks and gets you likes, unfortunately. Huh. And they're offense driven.
At first I thought you were talking about a fence.
Yeah.
I was like,
it's a wall.
I was like, oh man, millennials are always searching for fences out there. That's all they care about. Here's a fence.
I'm going to knock it down. Fence.
But that's a good point. But
yeah, I know. I was just making
sense. You talk to comedians, Jerry Seinfeld, and those. He talks to comedians all the time. He says they don't do colleges anymore because of that, because you can't do any material without
it offending,
and then going crazy.
Isn't that the way all colleges are? Like, you can't, freedom of speech really isn't, I mean, we were talking about this the other day, Luke.
What are you talking about?
The article, how the college campuses are not a place of where you can test great ideas anymore.
No, I still disagree with you. The college students, you can't test great ideas. But college students.
Who are the college students now?
I don't know.
Millennials.
Millennials, I guess. I'm just saying, college students have never had the brightest ideas always. I mean, maybe a few, but not every one of them. So, college professors are just annoyed that they're getting in the way of their testing the boundaries.
But I think that's part of it. And I think the relevance of the church is, I mean, they just don't see it as relevant anymore. And that has to do, that's our own fault as a church.
Yeah.
As churches in general.
That we're offensive or we're not offensive?
Relevance.
Or rather that you don't reach out.
I was going with relevance, but also that people have the perception that we're more about what we're against than what we're for. And that's something that...
But do churches try too hard to be relevant? And then because of that... Because James and I work with youth. Luke doesn't have to. And you work with children's ministry, mm-hmm. your church. And so, like, we want to be relevant to the people around us. But do we water down the gospel because we try to be relevant? Or do we miss... Do we miss people because of the relevance issue? Because one church I heard said they don't strive for relevance. They strive for innovation. I was like, oh, that's a good... Because they want to go beyond relevance, and they want to innovate, and they want to bring culture... They want to innovate with the culture instead of being relevant to what's already going around them.
I would say not relevant. I don't want to be... I want to communicate.
Relevance.
I want to communicate. That's my goal. And I think the church doesn't communicate well because they're stuck in old ways and old terminology. But if I can communicate the true gospel in a way that people understand, then it is relevant.
Okay.
It's not about...
I agree with that.
There could always be the aspect of the loudest people in the room are not the consensus of it, so...
Maybe, not true!
maybe people are looking like, oh man, there's the West Bureau Baptist Church, and like, oh man, those Christians are terrible people. Therefore, all Christians are terrible people. Maybe the loudest Christians are...
The majority of Christians.
What?
Maybe the loudest Christians are what the majority of Christians are.
Yeah, that's what they might think. And they're like, oh, well, I disagree with them strongly.
So. Are the only ones they hear.
Yeah.
Because they're the loudest. And I think that's a good point. I mean, that whole idea of I don't want to be associated with that.
So a millennial is a person reaching young adulthood around the year 2000.
That must have been Wikipedia.
What? The year 2000? You have an adulthood.
Year 2000. Yeah, that's according to the,
I was
the Google.
In the year 2000.
Yeah, that's what Google says millennials.
So that's when you're not a millennial.
So clearly, I can't trust the...
Generation Y.
That fluctuates. That's what's weird. Those numbers fluctuate greatly. Like, at one point, I wasn't even close. I'm middle X for a long time. And yeah. Now, when they readjusted the numbers, now I'm really close to being in the millennial.
Oh, you're the greatest generation.
It's
actually
really weird. I know. It's
all right, here we go. Time. This, I don't is according, this is according to the Wikipedia. All right. There are no precise dates when the generation starts and ends. Most researchers and commentators use the birth years ranging from the early 1980s to the early 2000s.
For millennials?
Yeah. Oh,
so I'm a millennial. It's like a 20-year difference.
Yeah.
That's what I just said.
That's a terrible record.
So maybe that's where these numbers get skewed, because they're going on to a different, what is a millennial and
that's
all
the
that
question.
Garbage.
What is we? Problem is, we can't see the numbers very easily. Because this Google Doc does not have any of them.
But whatever it is, as long as it hopefully helps stir some in the church world to action, to more action, to reach yeah. those that are not being reached. That's what's most important. It's not, it's my way, right, or your way. Let's reach people that need to be reached with the true gospel.
Maybe true. It could also be honesty. People are more honest because they're... Phone was going
on. I know, yeah.
What was I saying?
People are trying to be more honest.
They're like, oh, well, 20 years ago, I'd be chastised for saying I'm an atheist, and I'd be maybe burned at the stake 20 years ago.
Or my parents would care 20 years ago.
There we go.
My parents don't care.
Well, it's like when John Locke was alive, if you said you're an atheist, you were like cast out of society, basically.
Yeah.
So now they're like, well, I won't be. People are going to be like, oh, you're basically the worst person.
Societal shift. Yeah,
now it's cool.
Of what's more acceptable.
Here you go. Gene Twing, the author of the 2006 book Generation Me, considers millennials, along with younger members of Generation X, to be part of the what she calls Generation Me. She attributes millennials with the traits of confidence and tolerance, but also identifies a sense of entitlement and narcissism based on personality surveys that showed increasing narcissism among millennials compared to preceding generations when they were teens and in their 20s.
So,
I want to go back real quick, James. Thanks for interrupting.
You're welcome.
But here's the thing. I would rather prefer them to be honest, because to me, I can't get to someone who's like, oh, yeah, of course I'm a Christian, but they're not really. If they're more honest with me, right, they're like saying, oh, I struggle with this and I don't believe, then it's like, okay, now we can identify and we can actually communicate better. And people just, I would rather have someone, I'm just going with the crowd. I'd rather be like, no, I don't instead, because if they're not sincere, is it better to be insincere about it and just be like, whatever. I just don't want people to hate me.
That's the whole, I want you either hot or cold. You're lukewarm. That makes you, I want to spit you out.
Well, I am.
I mean, that's what you're talking about. If they're kind of in the middle, I kind of.
Yeah, because it gives people,
need to be either
it
hot
gives
or cold.
I
need
people
to
know, that are truly Christians a bad name.
Yeah, I mean, I want to know. I mean, I feel like being honest is not wrong.
I think about our youth group. So do you think, like, students really know that? Do you think they would say, like, oh, I'm a Christian, but their lifestyle doesn't line up with what they say?
Well, rephrase. I'm trying to.
Okay, so like, for instance, like, a lot of people in our youth group would say, oh, I'm a Christian, but they don't really grasp what that means. Like, they think, I go to church and that stuff. So they're not really.
So activities.
They're not doing it to be fake.
Yeah.
So they don't realize that they're doing it.
As we talked about this at lunch one day. I was telling you, at the age of 20 is when I became truly cognizant of my individual faith, as like I chose it and I just wasn't born into it. There's a difference. I was born a Christian, but now I've chosen to be a Christian rather than just be like, oh, my parents, they must know best. And it's like I went through the thought, I went through the logic flow. I was like, okay,
your faith became your own.
I chose this rather than it was handed to me, and that's a really important step that I think everyone should take. And I think almost every student hasn't really chosen exactly. I mean, I feel like I feel like when I was in middle school, it was just, I'm here because all my friends are here and my parents taught me to do this and I don't disobey my parents because last time I did, I didn't eat dinner.
Wow. And, okay, but, all right, so you were saying like the church has to change to adjust and not like, so the message stays the same, right?
It's communicate. How do you communicate in a way that is going to reach the millennials? Not changing the message, changing the method of how you, how you speak that message.
Speaking of changing the method, Barbie is changing their method of how they're reaching millennials. No, they are.
Yeah.
The millennial, Mattel says, the millennial mom is a small part of our consumer base, but we recognize she's the future. And so Barbie, after 57 years, is getting a makeover.
Yeah, multiple Barbies.
Three new body types, curvy, petite, and tall.
Yeah.
So they still have the... Ninja.
What tall? Is it already tall?
I mean, yeah, I don't know.
And petite? Like,
yeah. Because
it could be lanky instead, but they didn't use the word lanky.
Lanky.
Mm. Like, well, that would be offensive.
Flat and tall.
Sarah Plain and tall. No, curvy is one of them. So I guess that's the bigger.
Yeah.
Curvy. Art, what's the middle? There's a lot of curves.
Curvy. Curvy's the bigger one.
Yeah.
Obese Barbie.
I'm not curvy. I'm white.
Oh, Barbie?
No, she's Barbie not obese. Plus. She's just a little bit bigger.
They just call her Barb. Man. That's Barb.
That's Barb. Wow.
She's got a big, like, she's got one of those lower back tattoos, which apparently I can't say the word blank stamp, but it rhymes with stamp.
Oh, a flannel shirt?
Yeah. Flannel shirt. So,
is that what it's called?
Petite.
Yeah.
So, like, I guess short? Is that short?
Petite's just smaller.
James size.
The petite.
Fun size.
Yeah.
And tall. Size. So Sarah plain and tall. Barbie plain and tall. Fun size. And
I'm glad you got a million
adjustable ankles.
Yeah. So now, no more high heels.
It kind of. You can make them swollen or smaller.
Because curvy Barbie has cankles, so they have to, you have to be able to adjust.
Oh, man. All right, it's about the...
See, I'm fat, so I can be funny and make fun of fat people. Okay.
Man, only we had...
I'm not fat, so I...
If only we had Periscope going right now, we could this.
I'm on the podcast, no Periscope.
Okay. Luke doesn't want to be out there. He's okay with his voice, but not his image.
I'm barely okay with my name.
All right, so, yeah, adjustable ankles, because before it was always for high heels.
Now it's always for... kicking people.
Wear flats now?
Kung Fu Barbie. Yeah, now she wear flats.
So you do like yoga poses and stuff?
Well, yeah, you know how many more shoes they can make? This is all to make money.
If they thought they were going to lose money, they're like, nope.
Last year they introduced new skin textures and hair colors, so I guess...
Skin textures?
Yeah, acne Barbie. This is curvy as
sandpaper
Barbie.
Oh my goodness, what is going on? I can't talk to you. Well, that was a great episode.
Oh, man.
Why are we talking about Barbie?
Okay, because
They're
changing what they're doing to reach new people.
Or to make money.
So one Twitter user said, where's Dad Bod Ken?
Dad bod Ken.
Another was a weird short nerdy Ken. So yeah, but they're
stocky and
so Slate contributor Christina Cotterici praises the changes of the brand, writing, "All things considered, the new set of dolls is a refreshing step forward for a brand that millions of children still hold tight to their hearts. Their mutual devotion to the doll poses an important opportunity for redirecting some of the body shaming tendencies that take root at frighteningly young ages." Okay. So, Andy, you have a daughter.
Yeah.
I have two daughters. But have you noticed...
Just skipped over us, James.
Your daughter's actually in the room. You guys don't have daughters. You have nieces, though.
Yeah.
So you probably noticed this with them, like the younger... Like, they are very conscious about how they look, even at a young age.
I'm getting pretty.
Okay. Well, I don't know where Quincy gets this from, because, like there was one day, it was, like, dress up for, like, book week or something, and she's like... All the other people, she's four. And she's like, all the other people are going to look better than I am at book week. And I'm like, what? And she's like, they're going to have all these cool costumes. Yeah. And all that. And they're like, no, you're just dressing up. Like, she was Sister Bear and didn't want to be that. But we're like, this is what you're doing. But she was really mad about it because she's like, I'm not going to look the prettiest. I'm like,
does she have any Barbies?
Yes.
That's the problem. There you go.
she has chunky Barbie with it.
Wow.
With the facial tattoo that looks like Mike
facial
Tyson.
Mustache?
Mike
Tyson. Facial tattoo.
Oh, this Barbie has a little lip fuzz. Oh, tall.
Waxing kit included.
Waxing. Oh, man. All right. So, but I think this is a good point because girls get body image things like thrown at them all the time, and so if this helps with that, I think that'll be good. I don't know that Barbie is the reason that our culture is so self-centered and all that stuff, but who knows?
It could be one of the reasons. There are tons of reasons.
But they're taking steps. Hey, they're taking steps to curtail any damage they might have caused, which is good.
They probably didn't want to have multiple models because that's a lot of molds.
I can't do that.
You know, you looked it
they
up.
They have to have multiple molds now.
Okay.
Okay. All right. We're gonna, it's time for Goes the Culture. That's a pop. Pop Goes the Culture.
Yeah, I know.
Pop.
I listened to the podcast.
The Culture Goes
I always
pop.
Wondered how you did that noise.
Ah, man.
Now you know.
It turns out.
Behind the scenes.
Turns out he breaks his neck. There's the pop, and then he heals it right away.
It's pretty crazy.
It is the most disturbing thing power. I've seen all week.
Like Deadpool.
Deadpool. Speaking of Deadpool, a number one movie this weekend. Now, here's the thing. It's broke records for a rated R movie. Meaning it made over like $150 million.
So what record did it break? It made the most money of an opening weekend of an R movie or what?
Like, yeah,
there's so many weird statistics.
Yeah. I'm like, there's no way it beat Star Wars when I saw
opening
that.
Opening weekend for an R movie.
For an R movie. Okay, so what?
At the previous one, I think, was...
Nerd.
They were comparing it on our site to... what's that? 300. The movie with the Spartans.
This is Sparta!
That's number two?
Yeah, maybe.
Well, that's not a tough record to beat.
Our movies don't make a lot of money.
I know.
Like, that's the thing. And so, for it to be...
that's just the nature of them.
That's insane.
If it's an R movie, it's anyone under 17.
That's comic book adaptations.
Oh.
Was the 300.
So it broke
R-rated movie.
A very vague reference.
So, yes.
Hey.
Well, what else did it? What was the top one?
It was comedy.
I don't know.
It made the most movie of any movie named Deadpool.
Now, somebody made a good point. They said the trailers didn't portray it. You didn't see anything like super. You didn't see anything what would make it an R movie. You're like, oh, this is like Ant-Man. This is like. I mean, I don't know. What do you think, Pastor? I mean.
Yeah,
because you can't have a trailer that has
on Facebook because like when you scroll on Facebook, just stuff starts playing, movies playing, and there was a Red Band trailer for Deadpool, and it had like a lot of language in it and some violence, and so you're like, okay, this is gonna be it's pretty dirty. Like you could tell from there's a lot of language just from that trailer. So what?
I've got the stat for the. Number one R-rated movie before this one.
Okay.
You want to know? Let's say it's got a lot of gray.
50 Shades.
50 Shades of Gray.
I was going to say that.
Last year with one. 93 million. Man, this year's Deadpool beat it with 132 million.
Again, not a very good big record.
What
to
was
be beat,
before
that?
That
movie did nothing.
Okay, but so the highest grossing R movie. The highest grossing R movie of all time is.
That's for the weekend.
But this is for all time so far.
Aliens?
The Passion of the Christ.
Hey, that's right, Christian.
Take that, Satan. Second to that is American Sniper.
Third.
Matrix Reloaded. People are like, wait.
What?
I know, right? They're like, we got duped.
Does anyone in here like the Matrix Reloaded?
Is that the third one?
I thought it was the second one. Matrix Revelation, I thought was the third one.
Okay. It was terrible.
One, no one knows what is in it.
The Matrix, after the first one, they all went downhill. The third one turned into Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah. They would have changed one little tiny thing, it would have been awesome. But they didn't.
You think he should have come back to life?
No, I think he should have just smiled.
I think they should have just
if he smiles when he dies, he knows what he's doing.
Oh, okay.
But he doesn't know what he's doing, and that makes it stupid.
That's because it's Keanu Reeves. He never knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I like Keanu Reeves.
All right,
he's a nice guy. We're playing hide and seek right now.
What?
Keanu Reeves and I are playing hide and seek.
Who's winning?
Currently, I held the record of 4 years not being found.
All right. Good job.
Yeah.
So Deadpool was number one. Number two, Kung Fu Panda 3.
Yeah.
But it is like way behind. Have you seen Kung Fu Panda 3?
No, but Panda reminds me of you.
Oh,
especially with the
Jack Black reminds
me. So then the
with
other
the
one,
man bun.
No, number three was How to Be Single, which I don't know why anybody would want to see that movie. It didn't look good.
But it's on Valentine's Day weekend.
Those two actors.
Valentine's Day
funny.
Weekend.
Wait, who's in it? I don't even know who's in it.
Well, speaking of Fifty Shades, the Fifty Shades girl,
Rebel Wilson.
Oh yeah, Dakota Johnson.
Yeah, the non-funny
Alison Brie?
Curvy girl. What? We're going to use the Barbie terms here.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think her name's Rebel.
Something. Rebel. Yeah, you're right. I think it's Rebel Wilson.
Yeah, Rebel Wilson. She's in it. Damon Wayans Jr.
Fake name.
If Wayans are in it, it's going to be terrible. But, yeah, but I was reading the review on Plugged In. They just talked about how they're like, it's not really about being single. It's just about people sleeping around. Like, it's not.
It's dumb.
Yeah. And so, but that, okay, so going back to the Plugged In thing, like, so that, but that's where our culture is heading because on the Culture Clips, there's an article from talking about Cupid. Okay, Cupid. It's from Time.com. But they said like that the numbers are increasing, the percentages are increasing about people that are either already dating somebody or married that are looking for somebody. So like that number is going up, and like people are more interested in open relationships.
So wait, what does that mean?
Well,
what's an open relationship?
Open relationship is where like you're married or you're in a committed relationship, where it's dating or whatever, and but you say like, oh, we can see other people. Like, we can go sleep with other people in our relationship. Like, that's what an open relationship is.
Yeah, I still have to...
So it's not committed.
I have to voice the criticism here.
Go for it.
The numbers themselves might only show what's always happened. Again, when it comes down to maybe those people have always been around, right? But now they're just like, you know what? I feel like reporting it. Actually reporting is different than what is actually there. That's why it's hard to tell. Are the numbers going up, or is the people who report it, are they feeling more comfortable to report such a thing? That's...
Yeah.
Because if people are just feel more comfortable...
It's over 5 years. They said 5 years.
Yeah, I understand, but I'm just saying, Mormonism, there you go. I'm just saying, Mormonism, that started a long time ago.
Multiple partners.
Multiple partners.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. So meanwhile, users said they'd be interested in only a monogamous relationship fell to 44%, down from 56% 5 years ago. So it looks like people are not even looking for a marriage partner. They're just looking for somebody to sleep around with. Like, they're not looking for a committed relationship. That's okay, Cupid. So maybe other dating websites have found different.
Well, that's their business, too, is to do that.
And
to perpetuate that. That's what they want. So if they come out with a false study and make it okay, and hey, this is trending, you know,
and then they push
because they send it to you whether you want it or not, and you know that's the way it goes with those places. So that's their business, and they want more of it, so they're going to try to get everything they can to push in that direction.
I just don't think it's increasing. I think the number of people reporting their preferences is increasing. There's a difference. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
it's more socially acceptable to say it's okay.
They're not going to be... They're like, oh, I'm not going to...
Millennial score.
So, while you guys were talking, I was busy taking a Pew Research survey, and I am the 77% millennial. 77 out of 100.
Hey, where do you get that?
It's on pewresearch.org. 77%. So, I just took it.
Because you still live at home.
No, that wasn't a question.
Oh.
That was not a question.
You're not married. You're living at home.
Right, and did ask about tattoos. It did ask about
engagement. Do you have dark rim glasses?
No, didn't ask about those. That's funny, but
you
did ask about
a man.
It was fun. I enjoyed it.
Or a woman. Actually, men or women are both.
Glad you're caring about the podcast. Hey, this week I'm not yawning. One of our listeners wrote in. Is like, hey, last week I downloaded a podcast Viewfinder and only got an hour of Chris yawning.
Yawned.
Anyway, it was on Street League.
I know. I did on the radio show. No.
I did post song lyrics to the our little thing. So if you want to look at those while we're talking,
okay.
So there's a new number one.
Oh, what is it?
For a song, it's called Pillow Talk.
Uh-oh.
So first off, it's called Pillow Talk, so you know how it's gonna go. Mm-hmm. Obviously, somebody likes sleeping.
No, I thought it was about a guy that's like suffocating somebody with a pillow.
Right, what is pillow talk? Like, if a pillow's over my face, it's gonna be hard to understand.
Yeah,
you know, pillow talk. It's not.
But I think these two things are related. I mean, if you look, and percentages are going down that of millennials, whoever. That don't like or that don't associate themselves with a church, and the rise in these immoral, we consider immoral things.
Yeah.
If you're not tied to anything morally, if there's no higher,
it's whatever order culture things, says. Yeah.
It's whatever I feel. It's what I feel, right?
Yes.
Whatever makes me feel good today.
If it makes you happy.
And that's where I think the church and Christians really beat society is in the consistency.
Yes.
Because it calls us to a consistent life under Christ. So when you look, I'm...
Because even secular studies show that, like, a monogamous relationship, people are more satisfied with the relationship.
Happier, healthier.
Yeah. And that's...
Better off financially.
Yeah. The sex is better. All that stuff. No, but that's what the survey says.
Talk about that.
Hey, survey says.
Survey. Wait, we got one answer.
Okay, we're not gonna.
I'm just saying, surveys are just lies.
All right.
Okay. Every survey. It doesn't matter.
All right, so the new number one song is Pillow Talk. So it goes along with. All right, so.
Yeah, so I'm just reading some of these lyrics, but a lot of what it's about is the physical part of a relationship, right?
I don't know if we're going to read these on the air, but.
No, I mean. I mean, it just talks about, you know, the bed, being in bed all day. Be in bed all day, bed all day, bed all day. You know, and it just, and it's got some language in it. But it talks about, it says two words, paradise and war zone. Paradise, war zone. And so it's showing, like, we have fight, but then you come back together.
Wait, hold on.
And you, okay, he's going to look
at my notes. I'm just going to look at your notes.
That's fine.
I'm doing the...
He's taking the survey, too.
Yeah.
We're going to see how...
So paradise,
the dichotomy of that, it's our paradise and it's our war zone. What? I don't want that to be a war zone.
Right?
No, thank
you. But if that's where culture's going, saying, hey, this
Here's
is what
the question,
it is.
Here's the question, James. At what point is the relationship between these two established? You don't know. These people could be married.
Yeah, I know,
so,
but he has a...
It's very vague.
It is, but it's also putting a lot of emphasis in the relationship on the physical that happens to be in bed. And so it's missing out on everything else.
You're saying society has thought this up, but I disagree. That's in all love story. Song of Solomon. That has some pretty, what was that?
It's very racy.
Yeah, so I'm just saying.
It's
PG-13.
It's just
worded differently. It's worded in a more archaic fashion. This is not. This is more.
So this is interesting. It says a place that is so pure, so dirty and raw. So a place that is so pure. Like, it's interesting that they're calling the bed a place of purity.
Because that's, I mean, the church would agree. It is a place of purity.
But then it says so dirty and
what,
raw.
What makes it dirty?
Yeah, this guy in his song. or girl. I don't know who it's by. Who's the song by?
It's by Zayn Malik.
Okay.
Hey, wasn't he in One Direction?
I don't know. How do you even know that?
He was. They broke up.
Wait,
I think he left.
That is him.
That's the guy who left.
I don't know
Zane.
If that's his last name, but his first name is
Zayn.
Yeah. We know. We're very relevant culturally.
I love One Direction.
But
no, I don't.
Not anymore.
People would not stop talking about Zayn leaving.
I know.
He was the glue.
The glue that
the
held
glue
them
that
together.
Hold them all together.
But yeah, so, but it's kind of this dichotomy in the, because it talks about, yeah, two different things, like the war zone and the pleasure, but it's also, like, the whole song is like that. It's saying, oh, it's good, but it's also bad. But they're like, wait, no.
It's our paradise and it's our war zone.
Yeah, like, the whole song is like that, but.
We have pleasure here, but we're fighting.
You guys never fought in a relationship?
My enemy, my ally, prisoners.
Yeah, but.
Then we're free. It's a thriller.
Yeah, so, but it's a confusing thing. It's not a...
Well, I mean, that's one of the things in Scripture. Good will be bad. They'll say good is bad and bad is good. I mean, there's this idea of confusion. Let's make them confused. That's the enemy always tries to take what's great and turn it to bad. And what's bad and make it appear to be great. And that is exactly, you know, it's kind of like the song is trying to do.
And it's almost saying, yeah, they're like, oh, it's okay... Like, you are going to fight, and you're, like, you're going to have times, but yes, you are going to have fights in your relationship, but it's almost saying, like, well, this one part of your relationship, it's going to be bad sometimes and good sometimes, but it got created. Like, it should be, like, the bedroom pillow talk, like, that should be a sacred moment.
Yeah.
No, that should be a sacred thing, but he's like,
I got my...
It's dirty.
Sorry to interject. Wow! While the podcast's going on, everybody's taking this Pew research... Survey, man, look, you're terrible.
Hey, we'll have a link to it in the show notes. Yeah, I got it.
Terrible.
All
right, so tell us your score. I got
my
77.
Score is a 31.
See, you're not millennial. At all.
He said he wasn't.
Get out of here.
Apparently, I am.
The
question
said, "Do you like the internet?" He said, "No." And
you're a baby boomer.
I'm a baby boomer.
Oh man!
Wow!
Oh, man. He got old fast.
I even didn't put my age.
He's got that. He's got that Benjamin Button disease.
Yeah, he's a 20-something living in a 50-year-old body.
You mean I'm a 50-year-old something living in? A...
Yeah,
that one. Sort of proves the point I was talking about earlier. That it's fluid. That it's So now it's personality traits, and it's not when you were born. I thought it was when you were born. This is the traits
both,
of when you
I
were
think.
Born. So it completely throws the numbers way off.
I know. They're going to have to get back to
I'm
it.
Never gonna...
You should take it.
But then again, this quiz, real quick, it's from 2010, so that's 6 years.
Quiz? What?
That's a 6 old. They could have changed it.
It probably is.
A lot.
Maybe.
But according to a 2010, I would have answered even worse. I would have been like, phone? I didn't have a phone in 2010.
I'm the right. Next generation.
Yeah. I only use the landline.
We went through wartime.
I read the newspaper every day.
I'm doing the crossword puzzle.
Back in my day. Now I do the Sudoku puzzle because that's
cool. I do like Sudoku.
Crosswords, you gotta know words, while in Sudoku, you just need to know how to count to 9 and add.
Oh, man. Okay. So, Zoolander 2 also came out this week. How did that do on box office, James?
Zoolander 2 didn't do well at all. Actually, it only brought in...
It's got 22% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah,
so.
It's got a really low score.
It is a sequel.
Unless it's got it Benjamin Button.
Comedy sequel.
Here's the thing, though. Zoolander...
It got fourth, but yeah, but that's not good.
But... How many years between Zoolander 1 and Zoolander 2?
15.
It's kind of like the whole, if you think about it, Dumb and Dumber. Yeah. Didn't hit it off with this generation.
They missed the millennials.
Yeah, they did.
I didn't see
Can
Zoolander,
you think of
so
a comedy sequel that was any good at all?
Fletch Lives. Fletch Lives was better than
the
Fletch.
The exception to the rule.
Or Fletch? Fletch.
Yeah, I heard Fletch.
Fletch Lives.
I was like,
F-L-E-T-C-H.
That's the exception to the rule. There's no other.
Yeah.
What about the Spaceballs cartoon?
I mean, you could do a sequel if it's action, maybe even if it's
animated,
drama, possibly, or if it's sci-fi.
What about Grown Ups
animated?
Animated, you can do
a
sequel.
Story,
they
keep
making those haunted house movies.
I don't know if I consider an anime movie a comedy. I mean,
animated.
Like, you know,
okay.
Toy Story,
Kung Fu Panda,
yeah.
2.
Kung Fu Panda. That's not a comedy.
Well,
then what is that?
They're comedies, but cartoons has a different. Cartoons
was
a different thing.
You're judging it by a different standard now?
I would, yes.
I see how it is.
Because, well, they're geared towards kids, so you're going to do whatever to
not
make the license.
Not all cartoons are.
Not all. I'm saying, like,
but,
the Kung Fu Pandas
and
your
Academy
Ice
Awards,
Age.
They don't have animated movies in the comedic category.
Right, it was just animated films is its own thing.
I think James liked Ghostbuster 2 the most.
Ghostbusters 2? Is that a comedy, Ghostbusters?
Yeah, it was
action
a
sci-fi though. Isn't
it was all comedy.
Slides into the sci-fi.
That was all comedy.
They made 3 Back
it's
to the
like,
Futures.
What's the first thing you thought of? It was the first thing you thought of? The Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man. I don't know. It's an old movie.
Yeah,
I bet nobody listening to this podcast knows what Ghostbusters.
I think
you're
going to
do new ones coming out.
Totally different.
Actually, my niece and I watched both of them.
Oh yeah.
I asked her parents first, of course, because I don't know.
Okay. So,
she loved it.
So Zoolander 2, though, so comes out, and so Derek Zoolander, cultural commentator, he says, it's about vanity and ego, and I think there's something that's happened since our phones have turned into cameras that connects with the idea of being obsessed with ourselves. Ben Stiller discussing the original theme of 2001 Zoolander, and how those themes are even more relevant today as Zoolander 2 arrives in theaters. So,
or was it funny back then because it was so outrageously... vain, but now it's not as funny anymore.
Yeah,
because it hits a little too close to home.
Yeah,
because it is a little bit. I mean,
well, yeah,
they're making fun of me.
Well, what was the really funny scene? I watched the movie. I don't know if you guys watched it. Did you watch it, Zoolander 1?
Oh yeah, the first one.
Where they're driving in the Jeep and they're all together. They got their little slushies, and then like, what does it portray the male model as?
Stupid,
dumb, yeah, exactly. And then
all
they don't stop.
Stupid.
That's funny, but now you look at that, and yeah, I think you'd again offend more people because, like, oh,
that's I do that, fight.
Yeah, right.
I had a selfie stick in my car.
Wait a minute, yeah, that was
so,
way before selfie sticks.
Vanity, yeah,
okay,
is more a part of them.
So
rather than
so here's our topic of the day. So this is about like society going
now getting to
on
the
a different. Yeah, we've got 10 minutes left. So.
Oh yeah.
But this would just be a quick. Yeah, but we've kind of talked about it already. But like how there's a shift in our culture towards like more and more extreme stuff, and it's more and more acceptable. And so now 2015 or 2016,
you can't do anything because
but the extremeness of Zoolander now it's like we're like that as a society now. I mean, Zoolander was a commentary on the future of our society. not really. But, okay, so this is from the Plugged In review of, and this is the Focus on the Family site that reviews movies, but he says, When writing this review, my attention was drawn to Plugged In's review of the original Zoolander. Then-writer and now-editor Steve Isaac wrote of it, an orgy scene was reportedly edited at least 5 different times to convince the MPAA to give the film a PG-13 rating instead of an R. The goat is gone, and what's left is a shot from the shoulders up, but the implications are still clear. So that was from the 2001 review. Well, 15 years later, the goat is back and is joined by a chicken, a very small hippopotamus, and perhaps a few other animals I've already blocked out of my mind. And the MPAA ratings board apparently didn't even squirm once. I'm not one to say that culture across the board is uniformly getting worse, but to me, this is a great illustration of how the culture has changed and degraded in terms of its sexual attitudes. So, that was just interesting, right? Like that the things that 15 years ago in a PG-13 movie weren't allowed because it was so crazy. Now they're like, not only is that thing back in it, but there's other stuff that they added as well, and it's still PG-13. Like, it doesn't... But you said this about... Luke, what were you saying about the ratings?
The arbitrariness of the MPAA. The only reason why the MPAA exists is because in the 50s, they would censor the government. They were afraid it would censor their movies, so they created their own sort of censorship. And now, the government censoring movies is completely outrageous, because we have the First Amendment, and it's developed, and so the MPAA is just completely subjective, and I don't think you should really even go off of ratings. Instead, you should go off of a reviewer who you find is similar to your tastes.
Yeah, and it has the same worldview as
you. Yeah,
so that's why we talk about Plugged In.
Yeah, you should. So it's like the review is just so subjective. To one person, rated R could be rated PG-13, while to another, rated R could be rated, what's higher than R? NC-17.
Yeah.
So it's like, at this point, reviews are more important than the ratings.
Than what the rating is.
Because now you have Netflix that doesn't have to even have an MPAA rating, because it's their own entity. They're like, people are paying for our service. It's like HBO. You can pay for HBO, and they don't have to have any censoring. You're paying for it.
Right.
Unlike cable. So it's all about the reviewer. You go to a trusted reviewer, and you listen to them. You don't worry about the ratings as much. Because, again, like, there was one movie I saw called Into the Void or something about mountain climbers, and it was amazing. And it was rated R because in one scene, a guy, well, spoilers, if you want to see the movie, stop listening for about 5 minutes. But
5 minutes?
I don't know how
you only have 5 minutes.
Basically, he falls off a mountain, breaks his leg like 500 feet. He falls into a little trench thing, and then he wakes up, his leg's broken, and he just screams out, and he kind of curses for like 5 minutes. And then he stops. And then he's like, well, it's time to survive. And that was the only reason. It's because of language. And it's like, okay, Passion of the Christ. That was rated R.
Yeah.
But how many kids did you take?
Judas had a filthy mouth.
No, how many kids
had a mouth.
I remember, I think, Mary in high Magdalene. School. I thought, what's the head pastor's name here?
Pastor Dave.
Wow. I'm here and I know that.
I go here too, but I can't remember faces or names.
I'm Chris.
He's one of our online users.
Yeah, but didn't he take like a bunch of high schoolers to go see it? Passion of the Christ?
I don't know. With parental consent.
With parental consent, but it's still a rated R film, so what does the R rating mean? It's so subjective.
Yeah,
it's violent, though.
For the violence. Yeah, because
he's like, oh, so it's a movie about Jesus. I took my 4-year-old. Like, what? Yeah. They beat him.
Yeah, but I mean, if you read the Book of Judges, I'm like, wow, they could have left a lot of that out. They didn't even talk about how that guy took a donkey bone and
Killed
an entire army with a donkey bone.
Dude, that would have been the greatest fight to watch. I want to see that redone in the movie.
And so I think we need to be less focused on these these ratings.
And more on the content.
And more on the people who have seen it and can report on the content.
That's a good point.
There may be, like you said, Zoolander, a PG-13 movie that has some implications that might be bad for, that people are like, oh, I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
But another PG-13 movie might be PG-13 for things that people... Don't
if you ever saw a PG-13 movie right when they came out, it's totally different than what they are now. PG-13 movies right when they came out with a rating, they showed a lot of nudity, they showed a lot of everything. Even PG-rated movies before PG-13 were
bad.
If you watch Goonies, you'll be like, whoa, how many GDs did
that happen in? Airplane. But the first time I watched Airplane, I was like, what? That would have been rated R
mm-hmm.
today. Yeah. So has it gone backwards, or did it start out the PG-13 was the R, and now
that movie was PG.
It was PG.
I know.
That's
well, think about it. So
they didn't have the 13 rating. They didn't have
PG-13. Maybe there's a fluctuation. Maybe
parental guidance.
Strictness.
Parental guidance. Think of the definition of parental guidance. Saying, "Hey, parents might need to weigh in on this," versus just guidance.
Yeah.
So in all fairness, yeah. Yeah, sorry. General audit. Not guidance.
It doesn't matter who guides you, as long as you get guided.
It's so...
Magic 8-Ball, tell me what I should do.
Guidance. Okay,
no.
General audience.
But
yeah.
Parental guidance
why
versus...
GA, but...
Just general.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah.
All right, so this guy, his name's Todd Parrish. He works for a group called Interlink. But he wrote a blog about the new Deadpool movie. Because you talked about, you said earlier, like the Deadpool... Like, they kind of geared the trailer towards kids. Not necessarily
it's
kids,
geared
but
towards
it was
the
funny.
Same people
yeah.
as everybody Marvel is geared towards. Like, it's another Marvel film.
But were
of
those
course I'm
trailers made for TV? Because if then,
right.
they would have to censor it. So
well, yeah. but there's stuff in those movies. Like, there's other R-rated movies that you know, like, okay, this is going to be an R-rated movie. Whereas this one, like Ant-Man was very funny, like, in the trailer.
Yeah.
This one was very funny.
In the
trailer.
Well, it's also like The Wolf of Wall Street. I bet the people when you go see that were like, what? This was not in the trailer.
Well,
that's
yeah.
because that movie is so bad.
Yeah. I mean, obviously there's some stuff that they're not going to be able to put in there. But they kind of made it look like it was going to be a fun like Marvel movie. But it was this one was rated R. So this guy, because the article is, should kids see Deadpool? The answer is obviously no. But he said when he went to see the movie, there was a dad in there at 10 o'clock at night with his 8-year-old and 5-year-old. He said about that age, that's what it looked like, going to see this movie. And he's like, I couldn't believe it. And so there's a lot of language, a lot of sexually explicit jokes.
Well, I hope they speak to each other.
A lot of nudity. Yeah, okay. So foul language.
I'm a very literal person. And so if there's language in a movie, then that means
it's not a silent film. Yeah.
Subtitles, great.
I love it.
But yeah, but there's like... full frontal nudity. There's like all this stuff in the movie. So this guy was like, man, I just wish they would have like tried to make like a PG-13 and push the envelope on that a little bit instead of making this like crazy R movie that was really bad. So I don't know what like.
Well, more importantly, just be intentional. Know what you're going into before you.
Right.
I always go first and.
He's seen Deadpool twice
movies,
already. I'm like I don't know if my.
Like Star Wars, I went. Before I was gonna, even if I didn't even know if my kids were gonna see it or not.
Yeah.
But I went before. I mean, I'm not gonna go to a premiere of a movie I don't know what's in with my kid. That's just bananas.
So how do you do that for yourself though? You're like, okay, this is for future me. I'm gonna watch this for present,
yeah.
so that I can. And
well, yeah. there's your review that you were talking
it's like,
about.
Yeah, future.
Be informed and be intentional. You know, don't just see it, kids.
If we bring it back, also if you're an adult. And you get offended easily, don't go see movies in general. Because you might be offended by everything. So.
Yeah.
Because
you're
millennials don't see movies because
they're offended.
And it's like, oh, whatever.
Because they want to be offended. They love it.
Or they're not on the internet and they don't know about it.
I'm not on the internet.
I know. That's what I said. You're not.
I do not
it's only offensive
okay,
if it goes
if you guys
want to
contact
do.
Me, you can contact me.
Yeah.
LukeHelm at Facebook.com, at Twitter.
You can write me a letter, a P.O. box.
No, wait, James, hold on. James just brought up something really good.
It's only offensive if it goes against what I believe.
Right. So, because that's what offense is. Like, okay, this.
No, I'd say it's only offensive if you are offended.
True.
Yeah, but,
it,
but you're not offended by something that you agree with.
Yeah,
I am. All the time.
Well, Luke is, again, he's like older.
I am. Okay, you guys, listen up, you whippersnappers. I am a baby boomer, right?
Yeah,
I'm about to retire.
Just wait
until
he's 30, man. He's going to be even older. Like, he gets progressively, as he gets older, he literally does get like,
I get
way older.
He jumped,
like,
I am exponentially.
Dude,
I am
when
so
he's 60,
right
he's going to be like back with Socrates and all those guys. Like,
no, yeah, no. There's a point when you age, you stop caring. So when I'm 60, I will care so little. I'll just be running around.
Wow, I don't think so.
Running around.
I thought you care more.
Well,
as
and there's,
you get older.
But there's an also subtle thing here. I think that's happening too in our society is because we don't agree, and I'm offended with you. You have to believe my way.
Yeah.
We can't disagree. You have to believe my way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we see that all over.
And cater to my needs, yeah.
Yeah, it's not about, okay, you believe that way and I believe this way. And, you know, I can believe what I believe, and you can believe. That's
but
not,
you got to keep it.
That's not
private,
what tolerance
right?
is anymore. Tolerance yeah. is not that anymore. Tolerance is you have to believe my way.
And not just believe it, accept it.
You, like, have, you to have to accept my way. Yeah.
So, wait, so is it okay that they made the Deadpool movie?
They can make whatever they want. I don't yeah. have to see it.
I won't yeah. consume
you
it.
Can speak with your money.
With your dollars. Yeah,
but the intention was, it was intentional on that movie. We want to at least be R. We have to be R. The fans want it. Has to be R.
Yeah,
the fans did want it to be R. Yeah. So they spoke to the fans, and so they made it for their fans.
And the fans, yeah,
well, they
fans
made it for the money.
Yeah, and they did it, and they
made money. They now here's something my brother said last night. Interestingly enough, they
which
cut
brother
Jonathan. He's the one who knows stuff about the movie. So yeah. he said they cut the budget, and they had to actually cut out a big gun scene because their budget was cut in the movie because they didn't actually project this movie to be making that much money.
Oh,
and yet. Somehow did.
It took him like 16 years to make or something.
Yeah. It's been
like
a long
there's
time.
I haven't seen it. None of us have seen it, right? But no. I guess there's a scene. There's a big fight scene, which was supposed to be this huge gun fight scene. Well, they couldn't afford it, so they made up an excuse. And here, oh, spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
Yeah, okay. If you guys are back from the last 5 minutes, you can go away for the next 5 minutes.
But he said he basically, I guess, fights with some knives or something, and it's a smaller. It's not an epic fight scene in the sense that it was supposed to be this big gun battle.
Yeah.
And okay. They said he just forgot his guns. That was the excuse.
It
but
was
they didn't
a
have
huge
the money.
Joke, though.
And it comes it back was, to the money.
It killed with the audience, though. Because he, like, prepares. Like, have you seen Commando where he's preparing all this time?
Well, that's part of the deal. He's self-aware of what happens.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, my budget.
It's like you're preparing, and then all of a sudden you walk out, and then you have no guns, and you, like, you wasted 10 minutes preparing. It's like, well, that was a waste of time. So it killed. It was. It's like they saved.
They do. Yeah, because that character can get away with
it.
So
by making fun of
is this going to set a precedent for future Marvel movies?
No, no.
If it
made
not
money,
Marvel
it
Studios.
Yeah.
Marvel wow, Studios this is Fox.
They're going to be four.
Yeah,
because
this
these,
wasn't
though.
Disney Marvel.
True. I think they're still very.
Which I don't understand all that. Weird.
Okay. So DC go after
they,
something like
they
that.
They license.
I'm sure
stuff.
They have a character that's dark like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called The Batman.
No. The Batman. Which, okay, all right, no, we've got to wrap
Let's
up.
Let's continue
it's,
for
no,
another 20
yeah.
minutes.
No, we've got to wrap up. So, but yeah, but I mean, I think our society is going on a trajectory. And I mean, this is, but you could have said this 40 years ago. Yeah, we're going
yeah,
on
it's
a bad
society. Is always getting worse.
Yeah.
To someone else.
So that's why this is so important, though. That's why your worldview matters. That's why you have to have a solid worldview. And if you're a follower of Christ, your biblical worldview, like, you have to know what it is, and that's through the Word of God. Like, that's through the Bible. Like, you have to be in the Word, because society is going to change 15 years from now. Like, R-rated movies.
We could be on hoverboards.
We could.
And that could change society somehow.
Are you going to be consistent?
Yes. Consistency. So, hey, thanks for listening.
Like a warm bowl of oatmeal.
Grady.
You do not want your oatmeal to be inconsistent. I'll tell you that. You're like, why is this side so cold?
What?
It's like it was frozen.
All right. Anyways. Hey, everybody. I'm Chris.
Oh, I'm Luke. I didn't know we're going in there.
And I'm James.
I'm Andy.
This is Street Lethal.
No.
Podcast Viewfinder.
Thanks for tuning in to Podcast Viewfinder episode 46. We will see you next time.
Okay, Street Lethal.
Street Lethal. Right. All right. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
Podcast Viewfinder.